Blog Talk Radio.
On the beach that Walter Payton flow, on track to be the best, what you pacing for? Call play, step back, pump fake and throw. Who that? Drew breathing on the field. The document is monumental, shit real to real. No huddle game plan in my phone, outstanding most. Haters, commentators, call them Pat Buchanan's. Those still slamming on the Cadillac, swinging lane to lane, whipping grain like a battle axe cameraman. Capture the future like it's here for me. Why these cheerleaders cheer for me? We too hard to be crushed, too gone to be stuck, too fly to be touched, too much to be us. So we just let them do their thing. Cause we something like the 18. And I ain't talking about Bay team. I'm talking Super Bowl great team. Undefeated all season.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Fin Out of Water. This is your host, Rob Mann, hailing to you live out of Massachusetts. And I'm not speaking for myself when I say it is great to be back. It's football season. We get to talk football. And, you know, we get to talk about the game tonight. And I have two of my colleagues with me. Go ahead, fellas, introduce yourself. Go ahead, Ivan. You get first go.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
I know. You're glad to be back. Go ahead, homie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's Gershon, man. I'm ready. I'm here, man. We ready to talk football, man.
I'm just as happy as Tom Brady coming back, man.
Tom Brady back. And, you know, the funny thing is, man, I just want to bring this up. Oh, we also have someone else who's just joining us on the podcast. Go ahead, introduce yourself.
What's going on, man? Star of the show. Welcome back, America. We missed you.
And rightfully so. And before we get started, I just want this is like completely unrelated to football, but I just kind of want to throw this out there. Has anyone played? Y'all played the new Madden, right? Y'all played the new Madden?
Nah, bro.
I haven't been able to yet.
Huh? What's up? You haven't?
I said I haven't tried it yet.
You haven't tried it yet, Ivan?
No, I haven't been able to play yet either.
So
I've
her,
been burnt
so her,
out,
I know
man.
Her,
too many
her.
Years.
He said too many years. Herb, what about you, man? I know Herb.
I don't play that anymore. Brown and play 2K, bro. Real. bro.
That's crazy. I honestly wasn't expecting any of you guys not to have played it because I was going to say, now, NFL 2K5 is always going to be the greatest football game ever. The GOAT of all football games, but I'm going to tell you right now, Madden 16 is actually pretty good. It's the best Madden I think I've ever played, to be honest, in my opinion.
What makes it different than the last Madden, bro? And the Madden before
I didn't play the last Madden like that.
And the Madden before.
I didn't buy the last Madden. I only played it when I played you guys. But to me, I guess, I don't know. I didn't really think much of the last Madden, but playing this one, it feels better. I don't know what it is. I mean, I like the catching mechanics.
I know what it is, bro. Because it got Jameis Winston in it. And you know, the last one didn't have Jameis Winston in it, you feel me? So it's obviously better.
Obviously better.
Well,
let me ask you one question.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one question. When you throw a deep pass and the safety is not even close to the play and he has his back turned to the player, does he immediately, as soon as the ball gets launched into the air, start running to the receiver?
Well, I
that's been the number one thing that pisses me off the most. The awareness without sight of every single defender on the field as soon as the ball leaves the quarterback's hands.
You know, I feel like they actually did a better job of it. I mean, there's still some BS plays that happened. One thing about this Madden, though,
glitches.
receivers moss everything in this Madden. Like, the DBs get mossed left and right, man. Like, there are some plays where it's just like a person really should throw a pick. And the receiver just goes up and just mosses their ass. Everybody's running.
I saw the Calvin Johnson one where they had him spotlighted by every single player, and he throws a bomb, and he literally jumps between seven players. That's ridiculous.
Hey, man.
Not getting it as soon as I saw that. But I don't know. I have heard that it is better. I have seen, you know, a lot of people say, but I just don't feel like spending $60 on it right now. when I just bought
Metal
Gear.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't buy the last Madden, man. So I was feeling football this season, and you know what?
Yeah.
Why don't we just get started on this, man? And Gerson, you being the resident Patriots fan out of all of us, this is the kickoff game. This is the Patriots. You know, this is their title reign season. You know, them the reigning champions. So why don't you shed light on people on what you think about not just what they're going to do this season, but tonight.
I really got to see what the defense look like, man. I really do. I'm kind of worried, but kind of not, because it is the AFC East, and no one truly has quarterback other than the Dolphins. But we don't know what Tannehill is or whatnot. But, yeah, that's it, man. We got Tom Brady back, and, you know, our receiving core is kind of injured, but it's nothing new. We still got Gronk, so, you know, and he's healthy. So, I mean, I'm not scared. So it's definitely going to be a little bit harder. Tom Brady got to show up because everybody in the AFC has got a defense now. But, yeah, even the Jets, everybody got a defense. So, you know. But I just got to see how it plays out. But as far as Gate, I told everybody he was going to get off. People was looking at me like I was crazy. And what happened? He got off. So, and the only people that really think deflated balls make a difference is the people that are haters.
Because
as far as throwing the ball,
freaking
as far as throwing the ball, it did nothing to help him, man. So, there you go, right there. That's it. That's how I feel.
So you're not gonna say anything about the Steelers, bro? The opponent? They just don't exist. They're just gonna get killed and that's it, huh?
The man's here to talk about the Patriots and that's it.
Like it's just all right.
The game. No wait. As far as the game tonight, the Patriots should win. They are favored. As much as the Steelers do look good on offense, I know they're horrible on defense. So, and I don't think they have the running back. I don't think they have the running back.
No, they don't have the running back, and they don't have Martavis Bryant. So that's a big, big deal.
It is.
So, yeah, man,
definitely.
Like, you know, it's
but,
all win, dog. It's a game to win. That's it.
But the Patriots don't have Brandon Browner or D'Rell Revis. Antonio Brown finished going off for like 500 on y'all boys, boy.
I'm pretty sure he got to have a good game, but I doubt him by himself can win the game. But they don't have no defense.
I don't know. They got all their linebackers back.
Yeah, I don't got no defense, bro.
Last year they didn't have none of their starting linebackers playing.
What about that secondary, man? That secondary is kind of suspect, man. Well, I mean, both teams have
the worst.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got Butler on the other side, too, so in New England. So it's gonna be pretty much touchdown for touchdown.
Exactly.
I predict the score 70-72.
And it's going to be a fantasy wasteland, too, man. Everyone's going to be scoring that has no names in fantasy. Like, maybe Antonio Brown might get a touchdown or two. You know, Edelman's going to have a whole bunch of catches, but everybody else, no one's going to have drafted, at least in that regard. Scott Chandler, I see, getting a touchdown. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's
hey,
going crazy.
Hey, y'all been sleeping on my dog, D'Angelo Williams, boy. New squad, new definitely, boy.
Don't do it, Herb. Don't do it.
Hey, I'm just kidding, bro. That man liable to go off for like 1,800 yards in one game on the Patriots. Boy, you know Patriots, they got no run defense. Keep it real, bro. Let's go.
Seriously, though, since they moved McCourty over to cornerback, who's the other safety that's playing for the Patriots?
It was a nigga who had well played safety for money sign on the side of the road, bruh. I seen him, dog.
Oh, man.
It has been, bruh, so it doesn't even matter, dog, what his name is, bruh.
Yeah, it's gonna be bad.
Oh man, that's funny, man. I mean, honestly, man, if this game had Le'Veon Bell and Martavis Bryant in it, I feel like it'd be a lot more interesting, and I'd just be like, yo, the Steelers will take it anyway. But I mean,
yeah.
Le'Veon Bell, man, that's like 50% of their offense right there. Might be 60.
I think he accounted for 60% of the offense last year, but like literally, dog, like the man, that's a huge. All jokes aside, that's a huge loss.
Very huge loss. And Martavis Bryant, I mean, he's not a big name, but he brings a lot. He has a lot of dimension to that offense. That already has a lot of speed on it already. You know, so
everyone was saying, oh, you know, Marcus Wheaton's looking better in training camp and blah 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 blah. And the first game Martavis Bryant played in the preseason, man balled out. Next game he balled out. Next game he balled out. Like he's just waiting for it. Like, it's gonna happen. It's not Marcus Wheaton. It's gonna be Martavis Bryant, and he's gonna shouldn't go crazy, in my opinion. But we gotta wait 4 games.
Yeah, we gotta wait 4. I don't know if the Steelers can afford to wait 4 games because, like a lot of you guys alluded to earlier, you know, Troy Polamalu retired this past season.
Mm-hmm.
That Steelers defense. I mean, Greg did say they got their linebackers back, but. You know, preseason is one of those things where he's like, it's kind of just like, you know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. You never really know. You know, sometimes I remember a preseasons ago when Brandon Wheaton was just slinging it, and we all knew he was gonna suck, but he looked good in preseason.
Yeah.
It was just like, damn, he's slinging that ball. You know, so you know, preseason can give you mixed signals, but I don't think that Steelers defense is
that's probably just
gonna get embarrassed tonight. You know, that's
the thing.
That's
like I was talking to Baby Matt about it, and, you know, he's a huge Steelers fan, and he's saying the defense is going to look way better. You guys don't know the guys that we have now. You know, our linebackers are great. You don't know the corner. I know that. Now, that's what I was going to say. Dick LeBeau left, and he's like, that's a better thing. I don't think it is. The whole linebacker thing, the only reason the Steelers were so good for so long is because it took a little bit for people to adopt to their blitzing schemes. The schemes are gone. The coach is gone. Their defensive line isn't exactly, you know, like the powerhouse that they used to be.
Yeah,
and, like, that's a whole bunch of turnover. New players have to adapt to a new system. Old players have to adapt to a new system. And everything so far in the preseason has looked completely terrible as far as covering.
The problem with the Steelers is they've missed on all their recent draft picks. Jarvis Jones or whatever his name is ain't that good. Ryan Shazier is extremely athletic, but he doesn't know how to play football. So that's
suspect.
The problem. And I don't trust nobody. They don't got eyebrows anyway, bro, so I don't believe in Ryan Shazier. So if you don't got eyebrows, bro, I can't trust you, bro. That word is bond, dog. Word is bond.
I still remember when they drafted him and they drafted the Dolphins, drafted that one tackle that didn't have eyebrows. You were calling them both cornballs.
Oh, bro.
That's the most hilarious thing.
Nigga for Tennessee, dog. The lineman for Tennessee
mm-hmm.
with no eyebrows, bro. What's his name? Your lineman.
Nah, bro.
I can't remember his name, but yeah.
I can't remember. I don't need to remember his name because I know exactly who you're talking about. I fucking hate
it. Is it like something James or something? Like?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, you did. Oh, wait, you're talking to. Hey, come on, man. Chill out about my dog, Juwan James, man. Just chill.
Yeah,
Juwan James, yep.
Just chill, man.
Hey,
that's a quality right tackle right there, man.
Any nigga with no eyebrows is shiesty, bro. My mama told me that when I was 4 years old, bro.
Well, I mean, you know what? Hey, you know, I feel you, dog. I probably feel the same way. But
yeah, go ahead.
Considering the Greg? What about Greg? Where is Greg? Greg, you still on?
Yeah, what about me?
I was saying, since you brought up the linebackers, what do you see in the Steelers linebackers that you feel?
I didn't say I saw anything. They were horrible last year. I'm saying, but yeah, they got they should be a little better. I didn't say they were going to be good. Their defense is still going to be horrible. They have no D-line and no secondary. They should be a little better than they were last year.
Yeah, you know what?
All right.
They take an L at every facet of the defense, bro. The front seven, mm-hmm. the back seven, the linebackers, the safeties, the corners. There's not one good player at any position, dog. That's crazy.
And we haven't even seen
man,
the coach yet, so we'll see.
Oh, we're going to see a shit show tonight.
That means that's the 11th best players that they could find, bro, or whatever, dog, to put on the field, bro.
And there's going to be injuries. You know there's going to be injuries.
You know there's going to be injuries, and they don't have any depth, bro, because niggas who should be on the bench or starting for the Steelers right now on their defense. That's crazy. That's real crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about to be crazy, man. Honestly, I just hope the game is interesting enough to go into the fourth quarter, man. I would hate to see
it
blow
out. Oh, it will be, man. We're going to be swinging it the whole time.
Shootout to start the season. It'll be like that Saints-Packers game from a few years back when them niggas was just going nonstop, man, punch for punch.
You know,
well, the only way I see it different. Hey, go ahead, man.
I still think the Steelers are going to win.
You think the Steelers,
are going to run?
Yeah.
Oh, win. Oh.
Wait, Greg, are you okay? Did you drink something before you started talking on the podcast? You said the Steelers are going to win? Is that what you said, man?
Yeah.
It could happen. I mean,
it's possible, I guess. I just the way it depended on Le'Veon Bell last year, I just feel like, I mean, it's the first game, so anything can happen. They definitely have a shot, but I don't see it, man. I honestly think it's either going to be a close game Patriots win, or it's going to be, like, close at first, like at halftime, and then third quarter and beyond, it's just going to be like, wow, let's just turn the TV off. But we'll see what happens in about a few hours. It seems like the general consensus to the people, it seems like most of us believe the Patriots are going to take it. You know, the Steelers can take it, but I think they're going to take it as well. So we'll just move on to the next game. And I was hoping I could stall until my boy Steve may have been able to get on, but he wasn't. So we can totally trash the Redskins with no – I mean, we were going to do it anyway. But we just want a Redskins fan to deal with it, unfortunately. Hopefully I can get him on next week and trash him. But we get the Dolphins and the Redskins. And when it comes to this game, first of all, I'm actually pretty surprised at how much hype the Dolphins are getting outside of South Florida just from websites that I'm reading. And listen, I'm excited for the talent that we have on the team. I honestly think a lot of people are going to be surprised at how well Tannehill plays this year. But the Dolphins still got to go out and prove that they're going to win. You know, I was talking to a Dolphins fan that actually works at my job, which is, I'm meeting these guys in Massachusetts, which is blowing my mind. But he was telling me, like, yeah, man, we're going to go 12-4. I said, whoa. I said, man, I said, what did we do that makes you think we're going to go from 8 to 12 wins, man, with Tom Brady back? You know, I'm like, yeah, Dolphins fans, y'all need to chill, man, because we all know as Dolphins fans that the Dolphins are not a team that you could put your trust in 100%. They got to prove that. Patriots fans, they don't got to worry about that. Green Bay fans, they don't got to worry about that. Cowboys fans were jaded for a while. But the Cowboys are finally, they got that offensive line to finally protect their quarterback, and they're playing well. So going to the Dolphins, I believe they're going to be overall a good team. We should make the playoffs, at least at the very least a wild card. And our first opponent is the Redskins, who, by all means, they're having one of the worst off seasons, man. Kirk Cousins, man, and the sad part is it's like, if I ask y'all, matter of fact, I'm going to ask y'all, Herb, you first, Kirk Cousins or RG3?
Oh, Kirk Cousins.
Gerson, Kirk Cousins, RG3.
Kill myself.
Besides that option, that's the fail-safe option. Pick one, dog. You got to.
They both tried.
Man, I'm picking Cole McCoy over those two. I'm serious. I'll take Cole McCoy 100%. He's better than both of them combined. Are you kidding me? And he's a backup in the league.
I can't pick Colt 45 McCoy, bro. I can't do it.
You can, bro. At least he's won a couple games on his back. You remember the game against the Cowboys last year? I know he doesn't have an arm, but at least he doesn't throw the ball away.
Bro, we always catch an L to the Redskins in some improbable way, dog. That's nothing new, bro. Like,
the year before that, we beat him two times in a row.
That goes back to him. Man, I used to play in Santana Monsters out there with that 89, bro.
Romo
was hurt. Nah, Romo was
hurt.
Nah, answer the question, man. Answer the question. Kirk Cousins or RG3?
Gerson, it doesn't matter if they both suck. You just got to pick who you think sucks less. Is that logic good enough for you?
Cousins.
Huh? Who?
I didn't pick Cousins.
Who? You pick Kirk?
Yeah, I have Kirk Cousins
or RG3. If I have to pick one, I'll take RG3. All
right, pal.
My question is, are we talking about with that Redskins line or no?
just if you had a team.
Not in a vacuum for the Redskins. Like, on that same team, same talent, same system.
Neither one of them are going to survive in that scheme. That's the problem. Neither one of them can win in that. So there's no point because the scheme that they have doesn't fit either one of them. Like, Kirk Cousins is going to be a deep ball guy who takes a whole bunch of risks and makes dumb decisions. RG3 is a guy that has to be in a specific position to survive. That's why I'd rather take a guy that at least when he's about to get sacked, he throws it away or doesn't throw a pick. So that's why I would take Colt McCoy in that scheme.
Oh, I thought you were about to say you were ready to take RG3. He's like, what? No one's taking a sack. What? Get out of here.
No. I mean, once Kyle Shanahan left, we knew RG3 was going to immediately suffer and completely go back. Everyone knew it.
And it definitely happened.
I think
happened.
You should just trade him away, to be honest, man. And the thing is, with that Miami, for like back to the game, like the Miami defensive line is going to destroy that offensive line. They're going to destroy Kirk Cousins. I'd be surprised if they have Colt McCoy left for the rest of the year after this game, after Kirk Cousins gets literally destroyed. So, I don't know.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, man, because I was thinking to myself, outside of Trent Williams, man, who do the Redskins have in their line? And I remember something. Brandon Sheriff is the guy, the guard that they drafted in the first round, and they could have done much better with their first round pick. He has not looked good at all in preseason. He's going to be lining up against Ngoma Kongsu. He's going to be welcomed to the NFL. A bad starting offensive guard is going to be welcomed to the NFL by Ngoma Kongsu. That's going to be entertaining. By all intents and purposes, the Dolphins and the Redskins game, I honestly debated not even talking about this game, but football is so crazy. If the Dolphins lose this game, guys, if the Dolphins lose this game, I'm going to hand the podcast over to Herb or Ivan. You guys can rename it. You can say Cowboys and the Sun. I don't give a damn. This should be no reason why the Dolphins lose to the Redskins. I just can't. This should be the game where the Dolphins actually tell people, hey, we have finally arrived. This should be the game where they impress. I mean, it's hard to impress. If they blow the Redskins out 45-10, you're not going to be impressed because it's the Redskins. You know what I'm saying? But you know, this should be the time for the Dolphins. This is a game. This game to me is more about the Dolphins and how they performed than it is the Redskins, because we all know the Redskins are a train wreck. Now, with it being week one, with it being in their house, we all know week one is the craziest week of football. I've seen some of the craziest games in week one. We all have. So the Redskins are going to be hyped. Yeah. They'll probably play well to start the game. You know, I expect every team to play well. That's how the week one is. It's rare you see somebody start out and they just get blown out. Most teams, you know, everybody feels like they have a fighting chance the first game. So it'll probably be a fight, but I expect that game to be completely just not even close by the end of it. You know, what about you fellas? Herb?
Man, all jokes aside, bro, if y'all don't win by at least 14 points, and I mean like easy 14 points, like y'all stop trying midway, like, By the start of the fourth quarter, y'all not even playing football no more, bro. I'm going to be very disappointed. There's no reason why I'm going to say it. But you guys have a lot of receivers. The Redskins don't have any cornerbacks. You guys have...
That's one.
It's not the second best D-line in the league. The Redskins don't have an O-line. You guys should have a strong rushing game. The Redskins can't stop the run. You guys have a quarterback. The Redskins have three, which means they don't have any. So there's no reason why the Chiefs need to get out. Like, literally.
I share the same sentiment, man.
With you guys have every check mark in any position. We could do the main three, which is offense, defense, special teams. Check mark, check mark, check mark. O-line, quarterback, wide receiver. Check mark, check mark, check mark. Linebacker. D-line, check mark, check mark, check mark. You don't lose anything, bro. Like, so there's no reason why y'all should have blown them out.
I believe that's a fair assessment. Greg, what you think?
So, you know, I feel like Washington is just playing out horrible. They're fighting for a number one pick this year, and I believe they should allow it to happen. Now, also, one thing I noticed, Vegas isn't giving y'all much respect this week. They have spread at 3.5.
That's crazy. That's an insult.
Yes.
3.5 is a toss up, bro. That's a toss up, bro. That's an insult,
it,
bro.
It should be at least 7 with them being on the road. Because if they were at home, it'd at least be 10. So if anybody listening and bet, that would be one of the best games to put your money in for. It's going to be a blowout.
Great.
Hands down.
Fair enough. Ivan?
Your
thoughts?
I don't even know if there's anything left to say, man. I feel the same way. I mean, there's always, like you said, there's always a chance. But it just doesn't seem like very likely. And it's back to what I said before, but like I think I mentioned it to you. I don't know if I mentioned it last time we were on the podcast, but the Dolphins should honestly go on a run the first couple of games. I mean, literally every single team that they play has a quarterback that's either not proven or new. They play Washington, which has been switching between Kirk and RG3. Then they play Jacksonville with Blake Bortles. Then they play Tyrod Taylor. Then they play Ryan Fitzpatrick. Then the Mariota as a rookie. And then they go to Houston and play Brian Hoyer. So after that, of course, it gets tough then against New England, and then it gets tougher. But the first 6-7 games that you guys have, it's you guys have to go on a streak. I'm saying it now. If they go 4-4 or for whatever reason, there's gonna be fire Philbin by the end of the year, and the whole hot seat thing's gonna happen. I don't see it happening, but you have to go on a run.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, man, because I remember I was on a website, I was talking with some fellow Dolphins fans, and I remember telling them, I said, you know, you could look at a team schedule and say, you know, they should go 6-0, and you know, I don't feel like you should say that about any team. Like, I'm not saying you're wrong for that. Nobody's wrong for that. The Dolphins should win the first 6 games, bro. Maybe not against the Bills.
I'm not saying you should. I'm saying you have to. You know what I'm saying? There's, in my opinion, not many people feel the same way, but if you remember before the whole Ndamukong Suh thing, before you guys got him, before you guys did the draft and had a good draft, before you guys started getting all these free agent acquisitions and a whole bunch of people left, and you know, Philip Wheeler and all that got crap got thrown out, and you guys got new receivers. Everyone in Miami was on, is Philbin going to get fired? They even had the meeting at the end of the year, I don't know if you remember, and then they got rid of Mike Wallace and all that. I think there's still, you know what I'm saying, there's still a fire there a little bit that's been almost extinguished because of all the expectations. But if
right.
it doesn't go the way that they planned and they don't make the playoffs, it's fine. But if they don't make the playoffs because they go 8-8 or lower, it's going to be, I think there's going to be a big, big problem. And I think it might be the end of Philbin. So I still feel like there's an urgency, you know?
Yeah, right. You know what? I can agree with everything you just said, man. There is a sense of urgency, man. But there's a feeling, though, man. I don't know. You know, I'm gonna move on to the next game real soon. We're gonna talk Cowboys and Giants. But I just wanna throw this out there. I've been a Dolphins fan for a very long time, obviously, and I've been keeping up. I've been really, really, really keeping up with them for the past like 7-8 years. Like during the off season, I keep up with everything. I keep up with the practice tweets. That's the reason why I even have Twitter, just to keep up with the training camp. I keep up with everything the Dolphins do, and just keeping up with them this off season, just the feeling that you get, and me keeping up with it, I can tell y'all boys right now. And I know, you know, off season, preseason, you know, training camp, you know, that stuff is all good. You know, everything counts when the real season starts. But the one thing that I want to say is that when I watched Tannehill throughout his first three training camps, his play in the off season, his play in the practices translated to the field. You saw a quarterback that had inconsistencies. He was hot one game, cold one game, okay one game. He was like that in the off season. This off season, and not just him, just the entire team has just played great. And Tannehill's been playing outstanding in the off season. Keeping up with his practices, like I remember the past three seasons, it was just like every day I opened up a training camp topic or went on Twitter or whatever, I would just think to myself, I hope he doesn't throw too many picks. That was my thought. This off season, when he threw a pick, it was like, wow, he actually threw a pick. Like he's playing better than he's ever played. His footwork is better. If you watch him play, he looks like a different player almost. He looks better. His footwork is better. His accuracy is improved. His deep ball accuracy is improved. His decision making is quicker. I think the Dolphins are actually. I've never had this much faith in the Dolphins ever. I don't even think y'all can even think of a time where I ever vouched for the Dolphins, because I haven't. I'm not one of those fans who, you know, there's those fans who always think every year, yeah, we have a shot. If my team sucks, I'll admit it. And we've sucked for a very long time. But I got to say, man, I agree with you guys, man. I'd be so disappointed if we come out flat the first game of the season, a season in which, you know, Dolphins have been talking about we want to win a championship, and Joe Philbin has kind of come out of his shell, and things just seem different. Me just keeping up with the team, it just even Joe Philbin seems like he's a better coach. He's changed up his coaching regimen. He's allowed the players to be a little more relaxed. He's not as strict as he once was. He has a more personal relationship. He's become a better coach. One thing, I read an interview with him, and he said he wished Greg Jennings would have came a lot earlier, because Greg Jennings has really helped him open up to the other players, because everybody in Green Bay loved Joe Philbin, dude. Like, Joe Philbin was, like, a player favorite. You know what I mean? They all loved him. Aaron Rodgers, he was close with Aaron Rodgers, helped a lot, apparently, with Aaron Rodgers' development. So, I've been waiting to see that, and honestly, I think the most important thing is the scheme. I think the scheme is gonna ruin a lot of teams, because the Dolphins can both run and pass. If the running game is successful, which I think it will be, if the offensive line can hold up, I'm telling you right now, anybody who doesn't think Tannehill is that good, they're gonna change their minds this season, and that's all on the offensive line. And I expect us to come out and just wreck the Redskins. That should be it, point blank. Period. I was gonna ask Gerson his opinion, but he probably doesn't have one. So we'll go to the Cowboys.
Listen, man. I always seen it as, like, it was funny to me how everybody was talking about Tannehill, how he stuck and all that. I was just like, bro, what is he playing with? What did he have, bro? He gave him Mike Wallace, but, you know, everything else around him is trash, dog. Like, I always seen it like that, you feel me? And, you know, it's finally looking like you can threaten my team, bro. And I'm able to, you know, admit that, because that D-line is beastly, dog.
Hey, I mean, you know, the only preseason game, sorry to cut you off, Gerson, I just want to throw this last thing in there. The only preseason game that I really got to watch in full, like not go back and read about and watch highlights, was the Falcons game. I tried my best to save my one chance to watch it as the third preseason game, because that's the most interesting preseason game. You know what I'm saying? That's the game where, you know, it's the dress rehearsal, quote-unquote. I watched that game, bro, and it was crazy. Atlanta's offensive line is suspect, so, you know, I didn't take it as what it showed. The Falcons had 0 rushing yards on 7 attempts, and they averaged 2.9 yards per play for a half with their starting quarterback. Granted, Julio and Roddy didn't play, but watching the defensive line against the Falcons' porous offensive line, it was like they had no chance. Every time Matt Ryan snapped the ball, there was already somebody in his face. Every time. They didn't have time to do anything. And it was just watching that, I was thinking to myself, like, wow, man, if this is how it's going to be, even just close to this, a lot of teams are going to struggle against the Dolphins, man. Us in the Bills, our division is going to be scary in terms of the defenses, because all the teams have strong D-lines. The Bills arguably have the best one, but you can match the Dolphins and maybe even the Jets with it, too. Even though I think they have, the Jets have somebody who's injured on their defensive line, isn't it? Didn't they lose somebody? Or somebody got suspended?
They lost Sheldon Richardson, Muhammad Wilkinson's hurt, and the kid they drafted is hurt or whatever. I haven't even seen him, so I don't know how good he is, bro. I'm not that big of a fan of him. Everybody was on the big. I don't really care for him, so. And we're going to see, man.
But, yeah, man, I haven't seen.
Nigga, you know what that's called, man? We call that a slobber knocker, bruh. That whole division.
Yeah, it's gonna be. It's definitely gonna. The AFC East, for the first time in the Patriot dominant era, is finally gonna be interesting. The AFC East has never been ever this interesting in a very long time. So it should be exciting.
Chill. Now you do know that the NFC East quarterbacks have Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tyrod Taylor, bro. It ain't that interesting, dog.
Well, no. But the Bills, well, in defense of the Bills, at least, in defense of the Bills, I think the Bills are going to have, honestly, I'm just as scared of the Bills as I am the Patriots. I'm scared of the Patriots, obviously, because they got Tom Brady and Gronk. But that Bills defense, y'all, that defense has talent on every level. The defensive line is beast, a strong linebacking core where they have Nigel Branum and a couple other guys. The secondary has Stephen Gilmore, who I think people have been sleeping on him. He had a good year last year. He didn't have, you know, a Chris Harris, you know, Darrell Revis type year, but he's a legitimate number one corner, and I think he's going to show out this season. I think people are going to know who Gilmore is. I think he's good. And the rest of the secondary is pretty solid, too. I mean, that whole team, that whole defense is just stacked with talent. Then you add Rex Ryan to the mix, who's, for whatever reason, Rex Ryan is addicted to bad quarterbacks. I've never seen a coach who just so – like, the man just loves bad quarterbacks. I don't understand.
Here's the thing,
bro.
The man don't care for the position, dog. He really actually thinks that he don't need one, bro.
You're right, man. He has to because
he has to, bro.
The Bills defense, I think, is going to be good enough in the modern day NFL era. You know, as good as like the, I won't say they'll be as good as the Seahawks. We got to see them play, but I do think they'll be holding teams to like 17 and under, bro. I honestly do. I think that team is going to be so because they already have a pass rush, and we know that Rex Ryan runs a very complicated, you know, blitz heavy, disguise heavy defense, a defense that confuses even Tom Brady. That's why the Jets have struggled so much against the Patriots the past few seasons because no matter what, no matter how bad the Jets are, the Patriots always struggle because Rex Ryan knows how to run a defense. It's their offenses that always hold them back. So, you know, they add LeSean McCoy. We don't know how he's going to play in this new system. But, I mean, I think the Bills, even with Tyrod Taylor, I think they're a threat to anybody, man. That defense is going to make a lot of people sick, man. But, you know, not to stray off too much off topic, great conversation with the guys. Now we're going to move on to the Sunday night matchup between two beloved franchises, two very, very well-beloved franchises between the Cowboys and the Giants. And we have two resident Cowboy fans here between Herb and Ivan, but I believe I allowed Ivan to speak first. So, Herb, you get the first shot, and Ivan, you get the second shot. Go ahead, man. Speak to us about your feelings on the matchup and what you expect this season as well.
Bro, I got Darren McFadden on my team, bro. That man's a black plague, dog. I don't even want to talk about the Cowboys.
You are.
Y'all don't understand, bro. I have Darren McFadden. That might be my leading rushback. I got a nigga who can't keep his hands off of fucking underwear and cologne, a.k.a. Joseph Randall. You feel me? You got Christian Mike, bro. You know who's going to be my starter cornerback this year, bro?
Who?
Morris Claiborne, bro. Come on. We taking a step.
You guys still got that guy? Y'all still have Morris Claiborne?
Unfortunately.
Oh, did Orlando Scandrick get hurt? Was he the corner that got hurt?
Yeah, our second best player behind Sean Lee got hurt for the year, bro. Out for the whole year, dog. So you know what that means.
Loss.
Yeah,
big loss.
Every second Morris Claiborne get playing time, bro, that's a win for the offense, bro. I swear to God, bro.
But the Cowboys have an offense that can you know, carry the team, especially behind that passing game. I mean, the offensive line is the best in the league. No one can argue that. What do you feel about that, Herbert?
Morris Claiborne is going to get playing time. That's an automatic win for the opposing offense, bro. Every second. Every second.
You're not wrong about that.
Nah, but I'm hyped, man. I'm super excited as a Cowboys fan. I think Terrence Williams is going to explode. Not just because he's on my team, on my fantasy team. Shameless plug. Mark Henry is going to win it this year. I think he's going to have a real good season. Dez is Dez. You know what he's going to do. And I think Dez is coming together. I think you're going to see the best Dez Bryant you ever see. Or whatever, dog. And this is from a man who had, 16 touchdowns last year, bro? I think he's going to dominate. He might not have as much touchdowns, but I think he's going to be way harder to cover or whatever because he finally mastered the wide receiver position. You get the most consistent guy, Jason Witten. You know what you're going to get with him. It all depends on the running game again, bro, because the least amount of pressure that Tony has on his hands, the better you're going to get Tony. The man was completed 70% of his passes last year, dog. That's very hard to continue, but I think it's going to be right around 67, 68. So I'm excited, man. And the problem is we're going against our arch nemesis, man, the Giants, dog, the team that just knows how to spoil us year in, year out. Yeah, you feel me? Like, I don't know what it is about them. They just know how to beat us. I guess it's a division thing, but I think we're going to take it. I think we're going to show out. I think we're going to dominate. And it's a home game and it's Sunday night. And we're going to be the marquee game of the entire weekend.
And I think we're going to show that playoff loss to the Packers didn't hurt us and it's going to make us better.
That's a very great assessment, sir. Ivan, what do you have to add to this, sir?
I got us winning. I got us winning big, actually. I don't know what it is. The gut feeling thing, maybe it's the thing that the Giants are just falling apart completely. They don't have, like, their whole defense, if you just look at who's starting, who's actually playing, who's been out, I was talking about the Solomon the other day, which is the whole Jerry Reese as a general manager thing. But actually, even though they've gotten two Super Bowls, it's been great for us because everyone they draft, they just gets hurt. They don't have anyone that stays healthy on that team. And with our offensive line, and they've missing so many pieces on the defensive line and guys that have been inconsistent, the cornerback situation, the safety situation over there, it's pretty bad, man. So I don't know. The Victor Cruz not coming back. We don't know how their offensive line is going to be. I think they have two guys that are injured already. I feel like we just aren't going to be lacking. And in the offseason, Eli Manning's looked terrible still in the Ben McAdoo system. He has not looked good at all.
He doesn't.
So, I mean, I feel like, yeah, it could be a game where, like, remember last year, the game that ODB had that giant catch on Brandon Carr? And they were up 14-0, and then we just came back, and they literally didn't do anything the whole second half. I feel it's going to be exactly the same thing. Without Victor Cruz on the other side, man, I don't see them winning. I see Eli throwing picks. I just don't see a good game. I think it's going to take them a couple weeks, just like it did last year, for them to start getting their offense running. And their defense is beyond awful. Well, like we said, we never know. They always play us tough. They always keep it close. So we'll see, man.
Yeah, it's a lot of factors, man. It's a division game and it's week one, man. We all know it's crazy. Like a game that makes a sense to someone, like, yeah, the Cowboys. Like I could if somebody asked me, I wouldn't even think twice. But then you think they're in the same division, and division games always mean a lot. And you think it's the week one, and we all know we've seen like a bad Titans team beat like the Packers week one type shit. You know, you see that all the time.
Yeah.
But I do want to ask you two guys, you know. Before we do, you know, move on from this, and I ask Gerson his opinion, figure you guys, I'm going to ask your NFC East question. What do you guys think, and we're going to get to the Eagles and Falcons later, but I do want to know just your perspective as Cowboys fans. What are you guys' thoughts on the Eagles? What do you believe? How do you think they're going to challenge you guys this season? What do you guys think?
To me, it all depends on Sam Bradford.
True.
Honestly, if Sam Bradford stays healthy, they have a chance to be a wild card team or even be the division winners. If Sam Bradford goes down and they have to play Mark Sanchez or Logan Thomas or whoever. No, they didn't give it Logan Thomas. They got Morris from Miami. I don't know. Their defense goes – their whole defense – I mean, offense or game plan goes out the window. They have to keep that guy healthy or else they literally have zero chance.
Well, hold on. You forget, dog. That they did get 9 wins. When did they lose Nick Foles?
Nick.
What game did they lose Nick Foles last?
It was
Nick Foles stopped around.
So. Probably
week 5, week 6.
Yeah,
I think it was around there.
They still be able to win some games with or without Stafford because Stafford is not special.
Bradford, bro.
Bradford, whatever his name is, bro, he's garbage. Right? But nonetheless, man.
Well,
the Eagles is clearly just a gimmick, man. Like, I look at the Eagles just like,
Gerson, dog. It's a gimmick that works very well, bro. They've been 20.
Wait, hold on. I'm just saying, my point is, I don't think, take them seriously. I know they're going to get wins. Clearly, they're going to get wins. That's my point. But I don't think, they're going to, you know, make it far. Like, I heard someone say they think they can make it to the Super Bowl or something. I'm like, no, man, no, no.
The thing
with them is – oh, yeah, go ahead, Herb.
All their defense has to do is play average, and they can make it to the Super Bowl. Like, the team, it's so hard to defend them, bro. Like, the temp, because they never let you get in the right personnel. It's very hard to defend them. There's somebody always open every play. Mark Sanchez throws for 350 yards plus on the regular. Mark Sanchez. And that's just a dog. It's not a gimmick, man. That shit works.
No, I'm the fact that I'm not saying that is garbage or anything like that. Clearly, it works in the sense of getting wins. But, I mean, you know, I don't know, but I don't know what to say. I just see it as a gimmick. You just keep on running plays, keep on running.
The reason there's one thing I'm going to mention. Oh, go ahead. What I was going to say is the reason why they won a lot of games last year, if anyone remembers, besides the fact that Sproles would get every single kick return and punt return, at least once a game he would return it, they have something that can't be maintained. They have so many created so many turnovers, kickoff returns, punt returns. It's unsustainable. Even with Kenjon Barner looking just as good as Sproles on some kick returns and punt returns in the preseason, they banked a lot on that last year, and they got a lot of wins based off those special team plays or those pick sixes where a ball would get tipped and you know it would get returned because they have all guys that can return it. And it did get better on defense. They got new cornerbacks. But honestly, you can't say even with the system that Mark Sanchez doesn't throw three picks at least once every three games. Like, yeah, they might be able to go 8-8, but they're not, you know.
Sam Bradford, man, like, y'all not talking about Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez is number two on the depth chart. When you look at Mark Sanchez, it's just a quarterback number two, bro. He doesn't fucking start, bro. You feel me? Sam Bradford is more
efficient. That's what I said. That was the first thing I said, though, Herb. If Bradford stays healthy, they have a legit chance. If he gets hurt, they don't. That's exactly what I said. That was the first thing I said.
I'm going into the motion with Sam Bradford. You feel me? Like, that's who it is. Now, I have no reason to think he'll be healthy or whatnot, but at the same time, he's in a better system. To me, just the part that pisses me off, bro, if he plays good, people are going to be like, you see? That's why he went number one. No, he's just in a fucking system to anybody.
Hey, Herb, I'm so happy you said that because I was thinking the exact same thing. I was thinking, like people were gushing over his rehearsal game where he went 10 for 10 with three touchdowns. People have to understand, man, if the average quarterback system makes the game, like, let's say it's all pro for a regular quarterback, it's rookie mode when you're in that system, bro. Like, Chip Kelly's system.
It's so easy, bro.
Yeah. It's crazy because, and I actually did, like, some reading on it when he was in Oregon. And I did, like, some reading. And the most important part of that system that I didn't even think about is the running game. And the ability to use the running game and you know, the read option to a lesser degree because we know Sam Bradford is not going to run. But we just know that if the Eagles get a running game going and they have a solid offensive line, they have some good running backs. We don't know. Huh? What's up?
They have a really good offensive line.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. You know, I mean, they have a really good offensive line. They have, you know, they have some good running backs. They have some injury questions. They have a lot of they took chances on a lot of guys, like, you know, like a Ryan Matthews. I mean, DeMarco Murray had a good year last year because he stayed healthy, and he was behind a very, very ferocious offensive line. But he has another good offensive line. He might have a system he might even play just as good in. Ryan Matthews should definitely fit in. They still have Sproles. And they have some explosive players on their offense. And, I mean, Sam Bradford – you know, he's not a bad quarterback. We all know he's average at best. But guess what? He's better than Mark Sanchez. He's better than any quarterback that they've had in that system so far. And all he has to do is do his job, bro, as the Patriots like to say. Yep. If he just does what he's supposed to do, which he's capable of, you know, before Sam Bradford went down, his numbers weren't bad last year. He had, 14 touchdowns, 4 picks before he went down. That's not bad. You're not going to be mad at a quarterback who has those numbers before he gets hurt. So if he could translate that into an even better system. Huh?
That's the thing with Bradford. They didn't get him because he's a good quarterback or because of he can read a defense. We've all known he has problems reading a defense, but he's a really accurate guy. That's literally the whole reason they got him. So if he can actually get the ball where it's supposed to be in that scheme, that's it. That's all they needed. That's the reason why they got him.
That's exactly it.
That's literally
it.
He's accurate. That's the only reason.
and we're going to see. We'll see how it all plays out, you know. A matter of fact, you know, considering Gerson, you have anything to say about the Cowboys and Giants, and we can move on to Eagles Falcons. You have anything to say about that, Gerson?
I just believe the Cowboys should win. Everything about the Giants look bad. At least Eli's gonna have weapons. You feel me? If his O line holds up, but you know, the Cowboys should win at least. 28-14.
So. We'll see. This is a division game. I think it'll be closer, but I have no doubt the Cowboys are gonna win. I'm gonna bet on that game, bro. Maybe it might be ill-advised because I know every team has their Achilles heel team. You know, every team has it, like, you know, except the Packers. I think the Packers just kill everybody in their division every year, but every other team struggles against somebody, like, you know, the Seahawks with the Rams. Although the Rams, I think they'll be all right this year. Nick Foles, not sold on him, but they have a really solid defense. But anyway, I agree with all you guys. The Cowboys take it. You guys made excellent points. I don't even feel the need to, you know, express my points. So we'll move on to the Eagles and Falcons. And, Ivan, it's back to you to start, man. What do you think about this game? What do you think about the Falcons? We've talked a lot about the Eagles. How do you think that the Falcons will match up against the Eagles? What do you think they've done that might have improved them or not?
They're going to be a weird team to me because they still have some of the same problems with the offensive line and then no running back. I don't believe in the rookie. I've seen him, and I think he looks slow as shit, even though he's supposed to have good hands. But to me, it just comes down to how much better did their defense actually get. And honestly, just from looking at it, I don't know. I have no idea. Like I said, I know what they got. I don't see huge improvement, but you never know. They could actually make a makeshift defense with a new coordinator. It's all going to be how they look in that system, the players that they already had and the three or four acquisitions that are actually key that they acquired. On the offensive side, it's still going to be Matt Ryan against the world. Is Julio Jones, can he stay healthy? Is Roddy White even still a productive guy? They lost Harry Douglas. Who's going to be their number three? They still don't have a tight end that can catch. Their offensive line is terrible. It's the same exact thing. It's can he stay straight for 3 seconds to throw a deep ball to Julio Jones? So when it comes to that and it comes to the Eagles and how opportunistic they can be, I see that favorable for the Eagles just with how new the defense is going to be and how they have to attack the Chip Kelly system. A lot of new things. They're going to do some trick plays, some weird shit, catch the Falcons off guard. I think they might even have a kickoff return with Kenjon Barner back there. I honestly see the Eagles taking this one pretty easy, but it could be a barn burner, and that's what I'm kind of hoping for. But if you had to do the odds, I would have the odds in the favor of the Eagles.
That's definitely fair. That's definitely fair. Gerson, what you think? Gerson?
Yeah.
What you think, Eagles, Falcons?
Oh, definitely Eagles, man. Falcons look like a mess. It was a mess last year. It'll be a mess this year. The Eagles, I would say they got at least win by 21, though.
Damn.
That's a huge vote of confidence, man. Damn. I was expecting you know, a large margin, man. This man says skunk. He's saying they're going 21.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I mean,
wait,
that's how you
think the Falcons better from last year?
Well, I'll tell you this much. Offensively, they haven't changed to me. It's the same. To me, their offense has stayed exactly the same, which won't bode well for Matt Ryan, who is a really good quarterback. I feel bad that the Falcons are just wasting this guy's prime. Like, Matt Ryan
same.
Actually is pretty good, man. It's sad that he's getting killed behind that offensive line. Dan Quinn was the former Seahawks defensive coordinator, and he's going to bring – don't get me wrong. Not saying the Falcons are going to have a good defense. I'm going to put that out there first. However, I don't think they're going to have the worst defense either, which they've had the past 2 years. I don't know how it is. I don't know how Vic Beasley's going to play out. They've added some linebackers. We'll see how Justin Durant plays for them. We'll see how some of the other guys they added play for them. However, I do think the defense will be okay. It'll be closer to average. It'll be maybe like 19 or 20, which will help them out a little bit because their defense has been awful the past two, maybe even 3 years. I think Desmond Trufant, he's actually a quality corner. I don't know about Robert Alford. He looks like ass, but I know Desmond Trufant, he's actually a pretty decent corner. I don't know about the rest of their secondary too well, but I do think their defense will play better under Dan Quinn. I'm not calling them elite, not even calling them good. They might be average, but I think they'll definitely be much improved from last year. So, you know, I think they were like the 31st or 32nd defense, maybe even the 30th. I think they can bump up 10 spots. They could be 20, 21, maybe 22. I don't know. I think in the preseason, I watched a couple of their highlights. Like I said, I watched the preseason game against the Dolphins. They look better to me, but it's not like a marked, you know, huge improvement to me. I think it's the Falcons will be a win or two better. They're in a weak, extremely weak division with the Bucks and the Panthers, who are destroyed offensively, and then they have the Saints, who really looks like it's right for the taking for them. But we'll see. But in regards to the game, Eagles Falcons, I'm gonna take the Eagles. Just because I don't expect the Falcons to be able to handle that offense game one of the season. For that defense, that new and improved defense isn't going to look like it that first game, because that Eagles offense with an accurate quarterback, with the quarterback that Chip Kelly has, you know, I don't know if he's envisioned that, but he has the quarterback that he wants to run his system the way that he wants. So I think the Eagles are probably going to have their way with the Falcons. I'm not calling a 21. I think the Falcons offensively will be able to keep up with them for at least – you know, a good portion of the game, but I think it'll eventually run away from them. The thing with the Eagles is their offense plays so fast that their defense has to play well. So I don't know about Byron Maxwell and the boys. I mean, a lot of people are really high on the Eagles defense. Other than fantasy reasons, because they were the best fantasy defense last year, I don't see why. Their defense doesn't look that much better to me. I mean, they got Kiko Alonso, who that's a solid linebacker, but one player doesn't make your whole team, at least not to me. And he's a really good player, but I don't see it. I don't see Byron Maxwell being the number one corner that they think he's going to be. I don't see that. So
here's the problem with the Eagles. Their offense and their defense doesn't match together. And I say this why, because their offense is fast and explosive, but their defense doesn't have any premier pass rushers. You need a team like that with premier pass rushers to ruin your offensive drive, which would make a first down into a second and 13 or a second and 5 into a second and 8. You feel me? They don't have that premier pass rusher, so they can't get off the field as fast or whatnot and put the offense back on the field. So, and here's the crazy thing, bro. The Falcons have a top 5 corner in the league, man, and nobody knows it, dog.
You think True Five is 5,
huh?
You think Trufant top 5?
Bro, who name four cornerbacks better than him?
Name four cornerbacks that I think are better than Trufant?
Yeah.
I'll say Darrell Revis. I'll name the obvious ones. I think Darrell Revis is better than him. I mean, everybody is gonna say that. I'll say Chris Harris. I think Chris Harris is really good. I'll say you gotta give Richard Sherman some love. He's definitely one of the top corners.
And then it stops right there, but that's it.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. I guess it depends on the style. Because
so
I like Vontae Davis is legitimate.
Vontae, boom. That's it. That's all you can say. You cannot say Patrick Peterson. You can't say Joe
Hayden. I wasn't gonna say Pat. I would never say Pat Peterson.
You can't say Xavier Rhodes. You can't say Stephen Gilmore yet. You feel me? You can't say the guy from the one with the Chargers, the one that went to the Chargers. I can't remember his name.
The guy? Oh, Brandon Flowers?
You can't say Brandon Flowers. But, like, trust me, if you really think about it, bro, he's a top 5 corner, dog.
Wow, you know what's crazy? You know, Herb, at first I was kind of skeptical, but now that I'm really thinking about it, shit, you actually might be right. Yeah, he might be. I mean, I knew he was good, but now that I'm really putting it in perspective, I can't really think of anybody. Maybe Joe Hayden used to be that nigga, but he didn't play well last year.
Yeah, he used to be.
He
2 years.
He didn't play well last year. Yeah, last 2 years. Yeah, him.
Yep.
Go ahead, bro.
I still remember that play against Cecil Shorts 2 years ago, when Cecil Shorts burned him on that red zone snap. I haven't seen a cornerback get embarrassed by such a no-name and that bad in a long time, man. And he's had a lot of games like that where he kept on getting burned on big, big, big plays that you should not give up the let the guy get over you. And it's – I still like him, don't get me wrong, but Jesus Christ. and you've always known how I feel about Patrick Peterson as well. I mean, there's other guys that you could debate, but it's more on what's done in the past than where I'm at right now. It might take longer to think of one, but so he might be right. I mean, I honestly haven't seen Trufant play as much because I didn't get to see how many games last year. So I'll have to see more and look up more of him. But there's definitely, say, you know, maybe not there, but he could be on par this year or next year, or guys that could show up. So, but we'll see. Definitely not anyone from the Cowboys, that's for sure.
My analysis of the game is I just don't – Julio's going to have a field day, bro. There's nobody in the league that, to me, outside of, like, Terrell Revis that can – and Richard Sherman that can stick with him. Really just Terrell Revis, bro. So, Byron Maxwell's going to have, boy.
He's going to have a tough
– he's going to have a long day, bro. If I'm Byron Maxwell, the first thing I'm doing, I'm going to my position coach and say, hey, bro, burn that tape. I don't want to see no gameplay from me and Julio, bro. I don't want to see it, bro. Throw that bitch in the trash, dog. Because that nigga don't get ass whipped, bro. But that's about it. Outside of that, I don't see how the Eagles could win. I mean, I don't see how the Falcons could win, bro, because their O-line, yeah, it's healthy, but it's still trash, bro. Like,
yep.
You feel me? So, and Matt Ryan, he needs the O-line. He needs that, dog. I'm getting to the point where I think Matt Ryan can't handle pressure anymore, bro. You know how it should just...
He's seeing ghosts. Yep.
Yeah, he's starting to see ghosts, man. And if you can't have that in a franchise quarterback ever. You feel me? So I think the Eagles win, man. I think it's at least a 10-point victory.
That's fair to say. That's fair to say, man. Great discussion, fellas. We've handled that. The other marquee game, or I mean, I don't know if I could call it marquee yet, but I think it's going to be one of the more interesting games. There's other games, but I really like the Colts and the Bills matchup, man. I think that's a very interesting matchup. Herb, you actually you keep up with the Colts more than any of us, so I'll give you first crack at this one, man. What do you think about the Colts and Bills matchup and what to expect from these two teams?
First, I was trying to get your attention. Where the hell is Pap?
Oh, he left already, man.
Oh, okay, bro. Yeah, all right. I was about to say.
Colts. He left a lot. His call dropped a while ago. He probably went to, I don't know, do something. Well, yeah, go ahead, man.
Colts, man. Y'all know, man. I ain't got no shame, bro. That's my second team, my AFC team, bro. You know, no shame about it. No shame. The funny thing about the Colts, bro, the Colts are the least deserving hype team I've ever seen in my life, dog. I can ever remember, bro. They don't deserve none of this shit.
I agree with that, dog.
Well, I mean, they did make the championship game.
Here's the problem. They
played the Bengals and the Broncos, dude. They played a Peyton
I know,
and
I know.
No arm, and they played.
I agree.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Herb. Go ahead, Herb.
Here's the thing about the Colts. Like, I do enjoy the Colts because I love Andrew Luck. I love the player. The problem is I keep on saying this. They're never going to get to that next step as long as Chuck Pagano's their head coach. And they can't fire Donald because they keep winning enough games for him to keep a job, dog. That's the problem. You feel me? Like,
why do you believe that about the coach?
Huh?
Why do you believe that about the coach?
Because he's not a next level coach, bro. Like, look when they play the Patriots, dog. He can blow it out every time, bro. He doesn't know how. He's not good at adjustments. His claim to fame was being a defensive coordinator for the Ravens. That's because Rex Ryan gave him the blueprint. Rex Ryan drafted all the good players, dog. So he gave him the blueprint or whatever. You feel me? The best coach team I've ever seen, like, since Andrew Luck, is his rookie year when wasn't even the coach, when it was Bruce Arians was the coach. They had like
That's
eight
true.
Comeback victories that season. You feel me? Because Bruce Arians aspires to be better. He makes better in-game adjustments or whatever. You feel me? Chuck Pagano, he's just a rah-rah guy. But nobody's scared of him. You feel me? Like, nobody's scared. Like, they have so many games where they'll look bad for a half. Like last year, they were getting their ass kicked by the Titans, dog. You feel me? They come out flat. They came out flat like five or six games last year. You feel me? And that's the problem with them. They come out flat. Like in the preseason, they came out flat. Having a team that talented should never go start a game 4-0. Not even get a first down on the first drive. How is that possible?
I mean, that's fair to say.
I love the addition of Frank Gore because Andrew Luck needs a running game. I love the addition of Andre Johnson. You feel me? Andre Johnson is timeless or whatever. He had all the receivers and all the receiving weapons you could ask for. Here's the problem. There's a 53-man roster. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 5 players that I would have. The rest, I wouldn't touch him with a 4-foot pole, bro. 6. Better for 7. 7. Andre Johnson, Frank Gore, Andrew Luck, Robert Mathis, Vontae Davis, Philip Dorsett, T.Y. Hilton. That's 7 players, bro, out of 53, dog. The rest of the team is trash, bro. Andrew Luck just makes them look a lot better than they are.
It's so true, man. It's sad, man. It does. And you know what's funny, Herb? Just to add, not to cut you in. I just want, because I had this thought. I didn't want to forget about it. Andrew Luck, as impressive as a quarterback as he is, he's a little bit of a gunslinger, bro. Like he'll make a questionable decision.
Oh, yeah.
And he's still ball.
Andrew will throw some of the dumbest passes you'll ever see in your life, dog. He's not afraid to give it to the other team, dog. He's not afraid, bro.
He's not afraid to
get to the other team, man.
I honestly feel like that's what he got to do, though. You feel me? Like, I feel like he ain't got
to. You're right. Trust me, 2 years ago, their best 2 wins, when they beat the 49ers, they beat the Seahawks, is because they had a running game. He needs a running game. Every quarterback needs a running game, dog. You feel me? It makes sense. So basically, I use those 2 teams as up because that is the Super Bowl winning Seahawks and the team that they beat in the NFC Championship that year, the 49ers. You feel me? Those are the 2 best teams, and Colts beat both of them or whatever. You feel me? So when he has a running game, they're on point. You can see what he do. The problem is his defense is so bad, and his defense is bad at everything. His defense is bad at getting the pass rush. Like, niggas have infinite time to pass the ball, bro, when you play the Colts, dog. You have all the time. Like,
that's because Robert Mathis is always hurt on top of them having no other pass rusher.
So imagine how great he would be. I mean, I'm sorry to jump this in, but I remember getting in this argument just today, bro. I was just like, listen, bro, if Andrew Luck was on the Redskins and RG3 was on the Colts, bro, Andrew Luck would still win because he actually know the position. Like, he would learn the ball out of his hands, bro. He's an awesome quarterback and so quick, dog. It's like it's unfair. The Colts fans got another Peyton Manning that can run. They got Peyton Manning, dog. So it's just amazing to me how quickly this man got to top 5 quarterback, got to the point where he's elite, man. If he had a running game, it would be over, dog.
It would be over.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Agreed. And they might have that this year. They actually might.
Wait,
be good.
Because they don't really have anyone behind Frank Gore, though.
No, they have plenty of people behind Frank Gore. You feel me? They had Daniel Boone Harumph. I guess they waived him. I don't know why, but they got Vic Ballard behind them or whatever. So they have.
Well, they got Vic Ballard and a rookie.
They got Vic.
I mean, I don't know.
This is the main problem with the Colts, which is why. Andrew Luck takes a lot of punishment. They're a bombs away offense with we don't have the personnel on O-line to be a bombs away offense team, bro. So it's actually more of a dog. You feel me? a lot of their plays depend on T.Y. getting down the field, Dontre Moncrief getting down the field. It's going to involve Philip Dorsett now getting down the field. You feel me? So, and that's how, and that's what Pep him to run. He wants to have a power game, but he has a finesse O-line. So it's the offensive coordinator and the personnel not meshing together. And it's all depending on the O-line, Brad. The O-line is bad. The O-line doesn't create a hole for the running backs, which is why I don't even know how the hell Ahmad Bradshaw was falling like he was or whatever. So they need to change their team philosophy to a lot of quicker plays and stop going for the home run. You're not going to – explosive plays will stop. But it helps that bad defense that can't get off the field too. So it's – until the defense gets fixed – more or less, because at the end of the day, you can mask a bad O-line, bro. You can't mask bad defense, dog. Like, it was a joke watching the coach try to get a pass rush, dog. It got to the point where it was comical, dog. I'm talking Louis C.K. stand-up comedy, bro.
Oh,
like, they could make an HBO comedy special called Coach, the pass rush that isn't there, dog. Like, they could make a special about the shit, bro. I swear to God, dog. Like, and you can't beat Tom Brady if you can't get him off the spot, which is why they have yet to beat Tom Brady.
That's
the funny thing,
because
that's not even how they lost. The Patriots can beat them through the air or through the ground because they have no linebackers either. They just run the ball straight through their throats every time.
Exactly.
The last three games that they played against them, they had over 400 rushing yards on the Colts. That's three different games.
Absurd. So I would not be surprised if the Bills – are you saying they're playing the Bills?
Yeah,
Bills. I think, is it at Buffalo?
I would not be surprised if the Bills won that game, dog. With that defense, with that pass rush the Bills have, against that O-line, with Anthony Cassandra.
Exactly.
Oh,
I don't want to risk it, man.
Oh, my God.
He said, I don't want to risk it. Ivan's like, I wouldn't even start, Andrew.
Hey, but, any of y'all watch that Tyrone Taylor play or whatever his name is? The Bills quarterback?
Yeah, he's been going against vanilla defenses, bro. Like, niggas barely even move on defense, dog. So, but EJ Manuel looked like he was balling in the preseason, bro.
My question is if he's better than EJ Manuel.
Oh, yeah. Nigga, my mama's
easy.
Better than EJ, bro. So, come on, bro.
Anyway, I tell people
that's
all the time,
it is,
man. EJ was bad in college. If you're bad in college,
let me tell you something right now, dog. If EJ wasn't drafted in the first round, if GJ was a fifth, sixth, or seventh round pick, he would already been cut or waived by now. He wouldn't even make the team.
That's the thing. They cut Matt Castle so they could lower his salary, and everyone thought, oh, EJ Manuel's going to be the number two. And then they got back Matt Castle and immediately put him in the number two spot. So if something happens to Tyrod Taylor, Matt Castle goes in the game, not EJ.
Yeah, and it's
so that's
lose,
how bad
lose,
it is.
Lose. It's just the lose.
And Matt Castle barely
the
played in the preseason and he looked terrible. So
he did. Man, you want to talk about a guy? I gotta give the Patriots Gerson, man. I gotta find out what Bill Belichick sneaks into these guys' food or whatever because. And it's like crazy. Like, anytime a player who leaves the Patriots goes to another team that actually produced, and not to say Matt Castle didn't have an amazing season, but he did what he was supposed to do to win them 11. They were 11-5 team that didn't even make the playoffs that 2008 year, which is crazy. But to see a guy just, I mean, Bill Belichick, man, he just knows. Bill Belichick is going to go down as the greatest coach ever for two reasons. Because, one, he can coach the hell out of a team. The system that he has is works. And at the same time, he's able to not only get players to buy into the system, but he maximizes players. That's not something that you see a lot of coaches do. A lot of coaches sometimes try to fit a square peg in a round hole. But Bill Belichick has the balance between running, having a great system, and maximizing these players in the system, which is why I hate the Patriots so much, because they get the best out of everyone. And, you know.
That's the thing. Imagine if you give Bay Belichick to the Colts.
Man.
Imagine if you put
the
him there.
It'd be a much better team. That'd be a much better team. The guy just knows, especially on defense. You know, and he's had some bad talent on that defense. I mean, I think the Patriots front seven is a little better than most people give it credit for. And I'm not saying they're like a top front seven, but they're decent. You know, they don't have a pass rush, which is what's always going to be the knock for the Patriots, and that's going to be the problem. They had a secondary that was good enough to mask them not having a pass rush. They had a secondary that was good enough for them to blitz more. They don't have that this season. So we're going to see how – we're going to see tonight. We're going to see in about, what, not in an hour? How that's going to look, which you know, we almost getting there for. But back to the Bills and Colts, like Herb said, man, I was going to mention that. Like, I've cried a river for Ryan Tannehill's offensive line. I mean, the Colts' offensive line is right there, man. Those are two – like, that offensive line is so bad, and it's crazy because Andrew Luck still manages to play at a high level, even though he makes some questionable throws. I mean, he makes a bad decision here and there, but he can make up for it. He's that good. And I just don't know if that's going to work against the Bills, dog, because he's not going to have time to throw. They know that he can run, so the Bills are definitely going to be keeping an eye out for that. And I don't know, man. That offensive line might get Andrew killed the first game because I think that Bills D-line is just going to swallow them up, man. It might get ugly. And it's in Buffalo, by the way, guys. It's in Buffalo. And Buffalo is a tough place to play. It's one of the best. I mean, people talk about the Seahawks home field. Ralph Wilson Stadium, as a Dolphins fan, I can tell y'all, because I get to see the Dolphins get crushed there every year. No matter how good the Dolphins are, if we go into Buffalo, it's just like it's like being in Seattle. Like, the crowd is crazy, it's just the atmosphere is crazy, and they play geeked up at home. We saw Aaron Rodgers throw two picks and no touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers should have thrown four picks against the Bills. The two of them were dropped, bro.
Yep.
So, I mean, when the Bills defense can make the best quarterback in the league look like, I don't know, Matt Castle, you gotta imagine Andrew Luck is gonna struggle, you know. So I mean, I think the Bills win that game, bro. I think the Bills are gonna win Week One. I think they're gonna beat the Colts. And no disrespect to the Colts, but I mean, their defense is bad enough to where the Bills are gonna. What's the Bills' specialty? Running. What's the worst thing the Colts are at? Stopping the run. I mean, I think it's set up for the Bills to at least take that first week matchup. Ivan.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just got distracted. What were you asking?
Oh, no, just your final thoughts on the Bills and Colts.
On the Bills and Colts? No, I mean, I honestly think, you know, the whole Tyler Terrell experiment, you know, it's definitely going to look good for a couple of weeks at least, and it's definitely going to be a good start for him against the Colts. Like we said, their defense is terrible. We'll see, man. They have a lot of little fast receivers. They're a funny team to watch. I'm actually excited, but I still think it. Andrew Luck's still going to get two or three touchdowns, and I think it actually might be one of the higher, like, not higher scoring games, but there's going to be more points than people think for this game.
That's fair. That's a fair assessment. Gerson, did you speak everything you wanted to say about the game, sir?
Yeah, man. I'm going with the Colts, man. That's it.
Are you going with the Colts? That's fair. I mean, the Colts can definitely win. I'm not saying they don't have a chance. That game is a toss-up just because it's literally like the unstoppable force versus the immovable object. That's because the Colts' offense is going to be hella potent. If the offensive line can just – if they can just keep them upright, if they could just do their job for one game, if they could just play decent, okay, it's definitely going to be an interesting game, although I think that Bills' defense matches up pretty good with that offense. In any case, fellas, now we're going to go on to – I mean, there's a lot of games that we didn't get a chance to get to, and it's fine because most of the games are whatever games. But I'm going to give you guys, you know, we have about 10 to 12 minutes left in the podcast. I'm going to give you guys a chance to maybe talk about a game we didn't get a chance to shed some light on. You can maybe shed some light on the game, what you might think. Gerson, I haven't started with you in quite some time. Well, what other game week one are you excited to see, and what do you think about the outcome?
Honestly, man, I have no other game I want to see. The only game I want to see is the Patriots and the Steelers. I'm not interested in any other game, bro. Just honest.
Yeah.
Just being honest.
And I'm glad I asked you first because I knew you was going to do that. Because I knew your ass was going to do that. Because you always do that. Because you're just the Patriots homer. You know, you're the Patriots homer. You're the bitch. You're the assistant, the secretary. You're just everything. But it's cool, man. I forgive you. They just won a Super Bowl. I can't say shit. Herb, What week one matchup are you looking forward to, and what you think about the outcome of it, sir?
Oh, that's an easy one, bro. I'm looking forward to the Vikings and 49ers, without a doubt.
That's a good pick. That's a good pick.
For sure.
I want you to shut the top on that.
Hey, why though?
Huh?
Why though?
Bro, there's so many things to look for, bro. How good AP is going to look, Teddy Bridgewater's development as a quarterback, how far can Colin Kaepernick regress as a quarterback, bro? There's so many things to pick from, dog. Like seriously, bro.
You seeing what the Vikings are, but I really think 49ers is just trash. They got to go right back to what they were before.
That's why I said it's interesting, because the 49ers aren't a good team, so Teddy Bridgewater to take advantage of it. If he doesn't take advantage of it, that's going to be alarming in some aspects, but because he should have a good game, you feel me? They don't have Justin Smith retired. Like Alden Smith is in the abyss somewhere, bro. He's an albatross somewhere, dog. Patrick Willis retired. Navarro Bowman, I think, might play, but I'm not sure. Ahmad Briggs is going to play, but you feel me? Like, now, as bad as the 49ers are, have become, how far have they fallen from grace, they still have a very good secondary. That didn't change. You feel me? Like, that did not change. So, it's not going to be just a fucking slam dunk for Ted Bridgewater. They're going to make him work for it. And you feel me? So, I want to see how he meshes with Mike Wallace. I want to see if Cordell Patterson could even catch one ball, bro. I just want to see it, bro.
I can't even hold my laughter. I'm trying.
Just let me see the man run one good route. That's all I want to see. And I definitely want to see Adrian Peterson's comeback, bro. So, yeah, there's a lot to look for in Adrian. A lot to look for in that guy.
Hell yeah, I totally agree. That was a great pick, Ivan. What other week one matchup we didn't get to has your eye? If any, I mean, you could choose the Gerson route and decline. It's up to you.
Hello, sorry, I just came back. I'm interested to see the two rookies go at it. I don't know if they was mentioned yet, but the Bucks against Tennessee. I'm excited to see what that game looks like, and how both of them look, the offensive line for Tampa, how that looks, the defense for Tennessee. Those are two teams that are supposed to be terrible, but we'll find out very soon. It's there's two wild cards, you know.
You know what?
That's
awesome. You know what? You're right. I want to see how awesome Winston looks in the NFL.
You might not look so awesome.
Such a bad game, though, bro.
You think so?
Bro, the Bucks, and I don't mean this in hyperbole, bro. I don't mean this in hyperbole, dog. The Bucks might have the worst O-line I've ever seen in my life, dog.
Yep.
Like, it's that
between
bad.
Them and the Cardinals, man.
Like, it's that
them,
bad.
Yeah,
and the Titans have the one guy, they have a D tackle, bro. He's the third best D tackle. But the funny thing, nobody knows his fucking name. I can't remember his name, bro. But so he's gonna.
What are you talking for the Bucks?
No, the fucking the Titans.
Oh, for Tennessee.
Huh?
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, freaking. I can't remember his name right now, but he's gonna have a field day, and it's. To me, it's going to be a bad game all the way around. But it's going to be interesting, but it's going to be ugly, man. It's going to be real ugly.
You know what? Listen, if Winston as smart as they think that he is and know football as good as he is, I mean, of course, even if he got a terrible O-line, at least he won't look like RG3, bro. I expect...
Bro, Gerson, in the preseason, the man took a sack when he had 7 seconds to pass, bro. That's as RG3 as you can get. Now, I don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe they got the coverage on him, dog, you feel me? But nonetheless, man, I'm just saying that – I mean, you could tell a good quarterback from a bad one. I want to see if he's really so good.
that's fair enough, dog. You want to see what he made up in the real bullet for fun, man.
I am too. I'm eager to see him. I ain't gonna lie. I don't expect much because of that offensive line, but I'm hoping they don't kill my boy Jameis, man. Don't let him die, man. He's gonna get hit. He's gonna get close to killed, but don't let him finish the job, man. No fatalities. But I guess if I had to choose a final game, Ivan kind of took the game that I was thinking of, but there is another game I'm actually interested in. I'm actually interested in the Detroit-San Diego game, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm not going to say I've been keeping up with the Chargers, but I've just seen a lot of news on them whenever I read football crap. And I decided to dig into them a little bit, and I think the Chargers defensively are going to be interesting, man. I think the young linebackers are apparently, from what they say, we'll see when the bullets start flying, like Herb say. We'll see how it looks, but I think Jason Verrett, he was a rookie last year. He played pretty decent before he got hurt. I think he's going to be improved. I mean, their defense is looking solid. Melvin Ingram, if he can stay healthy for one season, you know, he might end up being a much more well-known player. I think they have talent littered throughout the defense. It's not like, you know, a super talented defense, but they have enough guys to where the defense should play a lot better than last year. And, you know, you still got Phillip Rivers. You still got the offense that they have. They won't have Antonio Gates to start the season, but, I mean, Phillip Rivers is a top 10, maybe even, you know, top 8, top 7 quarterback. So, and then you look at Detroit, I'm eager to see how Detroit's going to look without Sue, because Sue made such a big difference on that defense last year. But I think, you know, they have a lot of good players. They have two really good linebackers in DeAndre Levy and Stephen Tulloch. I mean, that's two of the, like, those are like two top 10 linebackers right there. You know, their secondary played well last year. Haloti Ngata is not who he's going to be, but he's still going to clog, stop the run. I want to see how the Detroit Lions defense looks. People are so high on Matt Stafford. I want to see why. I really do. I want to see why people are so high. The guy had a season where he threw 45 touchdowns and 5,000 yards, the lockout season, by the way, and he has not produced anything close to that since then. The guy's like Drew Bledsoe to me. Like, Matt Stafford reminds me of Drew Bledsoe, bro. He looks like he's a guy who, yeah, he looks like he gives you the idea maybe every once in a while, like, yeah, maybe he'll live up to his potential, and then he never does. That's the memory I have of that's the image I have of Matthew Stafford. He's the guy that every once in a while you'd be like, oh, okay, well, he's playing to his talent. He has the arm talent. He can make all kinds of throws. What, Griffin?
You just said Drew Brees.
I said Drew Bledsoe. Your old quarterback, buddy. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, that's who Matt Stafford kind of reminds me of. I think Drew Bledsoe was better, honestly. But Matt Stafford, I'm interested to see. I like the Chargers, man. I mean, I've always been I like Phillip Rivers a lot, man. I remember like a couple years back, some people were just like, "Yo, we should trade for him." I was just like, "Yeah, I'd be down. I like Phillip. No, he's a fiery quarterback. He's a good quarterback." Problem with him last year was the Chargers' offensive line. They were on their third offensive lineman by the time they were mid-season, bro. I mean, their third center. I mean, their offensive line injuries really hurt. Phillip Rivers, when he started the season last year, he was looking like an MVP candidate, and the offensive line fell apart, and he fell apart outside of the Ravens game. So I'm hoping to see what the Chargers bring to the table. I'm interested to see how Detroit's going to look after losing their best player, and I think that game is going to be a really good game. But in any case, I'd like to thank everybody who took the time to listen to this kickoff special for Fin Out of Water. I'd like to thank Herb, Ivan, Gerson, and Greg for his short time on the show. Thank all you fellas for joining me. And we're going to have a great game to watch tonight, hopefully, fellas. And I hope you guys enjoy the game as much as I do, all right? And for the fans, hope you guys enjoy the game. Fin Out of Water, we'll be back. We'll be back next week. I'll keep everyone posted on what day because I got to figure some things out. But we'll definitely be back next week, and we'll be talking more football. And everybody, enjoy your night. See you later, fellas.
All right. Bye, man.
Mm-hmm.